Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. Davis.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah, you can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. College football. Week 4, we saw my Ole Miss Rebels take care of business. A lot of people coming into the week against Georgia was wondering, you know, how Ole Miss would respond, being 1-2. Would they come out with any kind of fire? You know, and they played really well. Wound up winning 45-14. Looked really good. I thought this was the first time we played a complete game all year. You know, first and second half. Chad Kelly put up some big numbers. Looked really good against a decent Georgia team. Of course, it's not the Georgia team that everybody's come to know. Kirby Smart still has a long way to go recruiting-wise there in Georgia and Athens. We got Memphis next week. Got a revenge game from last year when they put it to us. There's still a chance for the playoffs for Ole Miss. A lot of folks going to sit there and, you know, going to hold out hope to the last possible minute. Somebody's got to do some work against them for us to get into the SEC championship and all that good stuff. But, you know, always a chance. But looking forward to the Memphis game. We got a couple of hard games after that going on the road to Auburn and LSU. We'll see how it goes here down the stretch. But next I want to talk about your Gators. They caught a little bit of the syndrome that we had earlier in the year. Ole Miss. They played a great first half. And I think the last text message I sent to you was that was an awesome goal line stand, which they had right in the first half, where they held Tennessee on fourth down. And it was halftime. It was 21-3, 21-something at that point. I went to sleep. I took me a nap. I woke back up, and I had the text message. I wrote it. I erased it. I wrote it. I erased it. I wanted to send it to you so bad, but I said, no, I'm sure T is really hurt, because when I woke up, the score was completely flipped, and it was halfway through the third quarter. Almost a little over halfway. And Florida only had 11 total yards in the second half at that point. And what happened?
Well, you know, I didn't watch the game.
Yeah.
And I wasn't upset. My sibling was. But I wasn't surprised because all the trash talk they did out. And I was like, they're going to go out here at halftime because they blowing them up and lose their mind. Like, oh, yeah, we just... the men or whatever, and that's what happened. They got too cocky and too comfortable. Then my sibling said that the coach wasn't even trying to act like he was trying to win. He throwing little dink and dunk passes at the end when we needed to score. And I don't know what that was about. Maybe I don't know that. I don't take nothing from this loss. We beat them 11 straight times. I told one of the Tennessee fans that said something. I was like, well, it's about time. I mean, we beat you 11 straight years. So, really, in the grand scheme of things, get a life. And Tennessee has to play like Alabama, Texas A&M, and they got a tough road. So, if we just get ourselves together and finish out strong, we'll be fine. Because
right.
They're going to lose a couple of games.
Right. Yeah, y'all have a very, the rest of your schedule, it's a lot more favorable than theirs. So.
Yeah. So they need to get it together.
Yeah.
And I ain't worried about us. I didn't put too much stock in us winning the SEC championship. I was surprised, but we weren't really good. And we still don't seem to be good.
It was like almost like, okay, they just glad to be there last year.
Oh.
That's how it felt to me, as far as them being in the SEC championship game.
Well, no, it didn't feel like that to me because I don't think they were glad to be there if they weren't good. And I can't believe you would say that. They were awful. The quarterback couldn't even throw a 5-yard out, and they were just awful. So I can't even understand how you came. I'm going to let you have it, but they were not good. And again, I was surprised that they won the SEC East because they were not good.
Or the East.
We had some favorable things happen with the kid that wound up leaving because he taking drugs.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
they weren't.
Yeah. So.
If this new coach, McElwain, whatever his name is, if he keeps letting kids like the kid at the guy at Louisville leave the state, how is it that he ain't at Florida State, Miami, somewhere? How do you let him leave the state?
Listen, yeah, for all the listeners who have listened to this podcast since the beginning, you know when T starts not knowing the coach's name or starts making up something like Muskrat, you know that it's not good in Florida town.
So, he needs to get it together.
Yeah, I do have a new AD, though.
Don't nobody care about him either.
Mm. Scott Strickland from Mississippi State.
He's never going. That's already bad by itself. And he ain't do nothing at Mississippi State. I don't know what. And up, just go ahead. I'm finished.
Oh, I had a little time set aside for another very, very early playoff predictions. Are you abstaining again this week? Or would you like to make
your picks? Yeah, there's too much going on. People, I don't know about it look good, but Alabama and Clemson might be trying to come around, but I ain't putting too much stock in Louisville just yet either, so I don't know.
Yeah, I have Clemson in my picks are Alabama, Clemson, Stanford, and Michigan. And I have Clemson in there with an asterisk because I want to see what happens this week when they play Louisville.
Right.
Lamar Jackson is you know, so far he's legit.
He seemed to be the real deal.
What, 28 touchdowns in 3 games?
Even if you just look at the game, though, the numbers are awesome, but if you look at the game, like, he got nice zip on his passes. He can throw it. He can run. They got a nice little surrounding cast for him. So, if their defense can hold up any kind of way, and watch out. They can win, and Clemson will be sitting at home.
Yeah, Alabama was my only for sure pick. I had asterisks by everybody else. Michigan, you never know what happened with them, with Michigan State, Ohio State still to come.
Ohio State looked good.
They do.
When I saw them Oklahoma, they look real good. And so, they only going to get better.
And Stanford almost lost to UCLA.
I don't know what Stanford's doing.
Stanford
had these kind of things happen to them. They win a big one, lose something that you think they was going to win. So,
and I really only had them in there because I like McCaffrey. I like watching him play. He's a good player.
Oh, yeah, all-purpose guy.
Yeah, the next 49er, yeah, I like McCaffrey.
I hope he don't go there and be ruined.
Before we stop on college football, I just wanted to make mention of Les Miles being fired this week.
Well, we don't have to. We can mention that later. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Never mind. We'll catch that in a minute.
We can mention that later. You just go ahead.
So, chanting and ranting. You want to go first?
My rant to this week is I don't really care about LSU football, but I'm tired of people firing people because they not winning national titles or whatever. There is only one champion at the end of the year. People, there are 130, 40, 60-something teams. I think it's 167 or something crazy. Only one person is going to win. Stop firing people that are doing a solid job and competing every year. As far as I know, Brian can correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't heard, LSU football player sexual assault. or in some DUI or in some. So he been keeping his guys. They've been staying out of trouble. Yeah, they had some, you know, the marijuana deal with the honey badger and, you know, some little issues here and there. But they've been relatively good, you know, across the board. Unless they keeping some secrets, huh?
Compared to others, yes.
Compared to some of the other stuff we hear going on. He been winning games.
141 and 34. Go ahead. With a national championship. Go ahead.
What do you think? What are you looking for? What are you looking for, ADs? Same thing for George. I could care less about Mark Rick and George. But he won in 9 to 10 games a year. Yeah, he didn't win the SEC East. Again, only one person going to win the championship at the end of the day. Yeah, and it's been Alabama and, you know, sporadically whoever else that pop up. But come on, stop firing coaches because I don't know what you think. Like, Ogeron, I don't know what he going to do. Besides, now he done fired the OC. Or that's the word on the street is that he had him fired or whatever. I read something about that. And I was like, y'all not see what he did at Ole Miss? Nothing.
Well, I know that Les Miles and Cam Cameron were best friends. So I think that was more or less, you know, if you're going to fire Les, you're going to fire me too. Is the way I kind of took that. But
well, either way.
Yeah.
If you was going to fire the man, you should have did it last year when we all saw it coming and then y'all didn't do it. Now you wait till this new class of students come in, they get used to him. And we got some games under our belt. Oops, we're going to get rid of the coach. And now everybody like, I'm sure all them kids like the man. And so now they probably like, yeah, it ain't like we don't like Coach Ogeron, but dog. And what does that do for your recruit? Because a lot of kids going there because they like less.
Yeah.
A lot of kids probably reopening their recruitment right now. That'll start popping up on my Bleacher Report. So that's my rant right now. I'm tired of people firing solid coaches thinking that the grass is green or some kind of way. It's not, people. It's not, I promise you.
I hope that all these big names that has been thrown out there, I hope they all either go somewhere else or stay where they at.
Who do they think they want to come?
Oh, they talking Tom Herman. And let me tell you about Tom Herman from Houston. Hello. If he goes... If Houston goes to the Big 12, he gets a $10 million raise. He ain't going nowhere. Who else was it? Jimbo Fisher. Why would he leave Florida State to go to LSU? He already got it.
He don't want to play Alabama every year.
I understand he's already got the LSU ties or whatever. I understand all that. But
he don't want to play Alabama, Florida, and Ole Miss every year. He not leaving that. He got a cush little life over there in the ACC. He not leaving. The Houston guy. Okay, again, let's say he come. He still got to be thrown Alabama.
Right.
Because you in the West. So I don't know how you think that's going to magically happen.
No.
Because he got that snowball rolling.
Yeah, and it's gaining steam as we speak.
Speaking of which, someone asked me an interesting question, and I'm going to get your take on it before I give mine.
Okay.
Obviously, we just going off the rant and chatting. But why did I think, or why do you think that, what's the Alabama coach name again?
Nick Saban.
Nick Saban is so successful. Why do you think he's so successful?
I think he's got that mentality that he's just always working. I mean, you can tell even when they win national championships, all he wants to talk about is getting ready for next year. At the national championship celebration, that's all he wants to talk about. He barely even cracks a smile. I just think he's one of those just working day and night. He's got that little attitude about him. He chip on his shoulder, and he continues year after year going after the same, you know, going after recruits. And living off his mystique.
So,
I don't know if that's the right answer.
I'm disappointed with you right now.
I don't know
again.
If that's the right answer for you.
Can I be disappointed again at you, Macaroni? I'm so disappointed.
You may. That's all right.
Okay. Because it's other coaches grinding just as much or probably harder trying to catch up to him.
I agree.
Now, I told them this, recruiting, which you spoke of, and not only recruiting, but having the gift, I don't know how he does it, but having the gift to make a 5 or a 4 star take a back seat, knowing that they won't start, and saying, look, son, you can come here, they gonna know off the bat that it's somebody already better than them or already in that starting position as a junior, senior, whatever. But being able to convince that kid to come anyway and sit and learn and get ready when that guy moves on to step in the spot. Because usually he just replaced parts, which is a talent. Because a lot of kids ain't trying to, if I'm a 5-star, I ain't trying to hear that I'm going to sit behind somebody. I want to get on the field. No. So that's a gift.
Yeah. Look at his quarterback situation. Even in the last few years, they've won national championships. They played in national championship games or played in the playoffs all of the last couple of years, and they've had different quarterbacks every year.
Yeah, so I think that's part of it because it's very few people that can convince a 5 or a 4-star kid like to come to their school and you're not promising them playing time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that being said, somebody was throwing up the money sign. I won't call no names. But, yeah, they probably could get paid anyway. I just think that he had a gift of gab to be able to convince them, like, look, you're going to win a championship, you're going to get to play, or you're going to have a chance to win a championship. You'll get your turn. You're a junior. You can't lead to your junior year anyway, so you might come here, learn the ropes, get ready to step in when XYZ graduates or leaves early to go to the pros.
Yeah, and then I think another thing he may be selling, which at this point in the way our society is about different things with injuries and. You know, they've been wanting Leonard Fournette to go pro since he was a high school freshman, I believe. I think another thing he could be selling them is, hey, you got so-and-so in front of you right now. That's okay. You're going to come practice. You're going to get better. And in a couple of years, you won't have the wear and tear on you when you go pro that you could have if you played here all 4 years, you know, if you started all 4 years, played in every game. Because you got the pro talent, you know, telling them, keeping that in their heads. And I don't know if I'm saying that right, but I think, you know my point, you understand my point.
Yeah.
You know, not having the wear and tear on them.
Are you ranting today?
I am, and I'm ready to go. Are you done with yours? Cause
yeah, I feel like I got a little off my chest.
That's fine, that's what this is for. My rant, yes, can't wait.
Hold on.
As you know, my dad has been dealing with he cut his finger back in March and been having a couple surgeries. Like he's had his third surgery as of yesterday on that same finger. My rant today is on his doctor and his doctor's practice. And I'm not going to mention the man's name. I could, and I really want to. But I feel like that's probably not
beneficial. Don't do it. Somebody be trying to sue us for money.
That's not beneficial for a podcast that makes no money. That's not beneficial to our cause. But I will say that I really don't. I hope. And if anybody wants to know his name, you can contact me off air. I don't want anyone to ever use this doctor, and I want to explain why. Since day one, this man has known that my dad was type 2 diabetic, who, you know, it was going to take a lot for his fingers to heal properly because of that. He went ahead with the surgery anyway. My dad has been dealing with more and more health issues because of the infections that have been caused by this finger. He has been sick. He has been in the hospital multiple times over the last week. With infections, with just throwing up, nauseous, vomiting, everything. You can even eat just all of it. He's lost over 30 pounds. He is just looking frail. I mean, as frail as I've ever seen him. And every time this doctor has seen him, his very first option, well, you know, we can always amputate. I'm telling you, amputate. Nobody wants to amputate their finger. This guy, that's his first option every time. And while my dad was sick all last week, this doctor was off shooting elk. On vacation, shooting elk. You know, call one of my, tell him, call one of my partners. They can help you. His partners can give him antibiotics, but his partners won't touch the finger because that's not their job. That was the other doctor, you know, that was his doctor. They don't want to, you know, go in on that because that's their partner who did that. They don't want to deal with that. So they're no help. They're giving him antibiotics, but they won't look at the finger. They won't touch the finger. So we get this surgery again yesterday. Come to find out, thank the good Lord, it's actually healing properly. So we look like we're on the up and up on things. Doctor still wants to amputate. Still is going on and on about amputation. And while he's talking about amputation, he has actually said out loud, he doesn't know for sure that it'll heal with the amputation. So what if it doesn't heal? What if it causes more problems? Now you got more problems. You got more, you know, illnesses, more sickness, more infection, and you don't have a finger. This doctor said yesterday, now every time he says something, he like chuckles and laughs like it's a big joke. And actually said yesterday, and I know he's lying because he's the most arrogant, pompous person I've ever met in my life. And I've only been in a room with him twice now, and I get that vibe from him. But he actually said out loud yesterday that I wouldn't have no problem if I had a situation like that. I wouldn't have no problem just cutting that middle finger right on off and 2 or 3 weeks being right back doing surgeries. He's lying through his teeth. The man doesn't care about my father. I know he has a lot of patience. You know, he can't care personally about every one of them's situation. But he has shown no care at all when it comes to my father. And I know this chant and rant is supposed to be to get stuff off our chest and be more comical. I know this is a little less comical this week, but, you know, that's okay.
Well, look, you're too close to it. Let me just tell you this. People just let doctors do what they want to do. They think doctors should know the right thing. Your dad should have been changed doctors.
Yeah.
Because he got MD behind his name, he's supposed to know everything. And people just go with what he said.
Right.
Your dad should have said, I want another physician. If they got a practice where they like, oh, well, we have to meet up and consult and say, well, you can change doctors because they all three work in the same office. Well, mm-hmm. It's got to be somewhere else down there in Parish Christian for him to go. Same kind of thing happened with one of my coworkers. Little Pinky got broke. You can see the fracture. The general practitioner, the person that is like the athletics doctor, that works with athletics here, looked at it. They both said, oh, it's out of place. It needs to be reset. The doctor here told her, no, you just wear a brace. She put the brace on, walk around in pain. And then one day I see her out of the brace. It's wrapped up, buddy taped. And I was like, why are you not just going to another doctor? Right. This doctor told her, oh, well, you don't use your pinky. So, you know, you really don't need to do surgery. I said, again, why are you not trying to find another doctor? Mm-hmm. Well, they all work together, and they have to consult each other before a patient can go from one doctor to another one. Well, go to another. It's got to be another chiropractor or whatever in Oxford, Mississippi. But people just let doctors do what they want. I know you don't want to find no new person, but when it comes to your health, and him being all lackadaisical and joking about and not understanding that, yeah, if you got type 2 diabetes, that's why people wind up with amputations and stuff, because the healing issues. Why would you? He should have been left out.
And what's even worse, like, he's just into himself.
Well, they all into themselves.
He goes on and on about
that's why you sit around and wait for them when you got an appointment at 1:30, about 4 or 5 people got the same time slot, and you like, what? How are you gonna see all of us at 1:30?
That's one more thing I want to talk about. His office. I mean, that like you said, he'll have an appointment at 1:30, won't get in till 5 or 4:45. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I've multiple times now, he has gone on and on about, you know, I tell my kids all the time, you know, don't be doctors. You don't want to put up with the stress. And literally the first surgery my dad ever had, it was supposed to be scheduled at 1. He didn't get back till almost 4. And was on the verge of just canceling it outright. Went back there, you know, went up to talk to the doctor. Doctor flat out, you know, screamed it. Now, this is my dad, who has not ate since, you know, early yesterday. That day before the surgery. This guy tells me, well, you know what? I've been dealing with surgeries all day long. I haven't even had lunch today. And my dad looked at him and was like, I hadn't had lunch, breakfast, didn't have dinner last night preparing for this surgery. So, you know.
Didn't nobody ask you about your lunch. Right. Again, that was a sign that he should have been like, and I'm sure his gut said get another doctor, but he ignored it.
Well, at this point, if this doesn't heal properly, this last surgery yesterday doesn't go right, we're going to go another way. He flat out told the doctor that when once again he brought up amputation. He said, well, I'm going to see a lot more people before we decide on that.
That's ridiculous.
A lot more options before we go there.
So people, if the doctor, you don't feel right, you don't think you're getting treated well, don't stick around. Because this doctor here, I go to an appointment and people walking up because I'm standing by the checkout. It's the room full of people waiting. And then the guy like, oh, I'm here to see such and such at 1:30. And I'm thinking, I'm here to see that same person at 1:30. Now, how are both of us going to see him at 1:30? Yeah. And then I stand there 30 minutes to 45 minutes to be taken back to another room to wait after they call me back. Then, it's like herding sheep around, but they don't care about our time because we let them do it anyway. Don't start me chatting on this rant neither. But so get another doctor. That would be my advice.
Yeah, that's the very next step. If this one does not heal properly, that is his next step.
Cause ain't nobody got time for that.
Oh my. Let's move on quickly to our next topic. I know I emailed you some other things. We're going to get to that next week. I kind of cut some things out. But we're going to move on to Empire. Season 3 premiere, Light Into Darkness. As we left off Season 2, at the end of Season 2, a lot of stuff going on. I got Laura has left Hakeem at the altar. Anika and Lucius then got married, so Anika don't have to testify. Rhonda and Anika are fighting on top of the building, and you know, as we left off, somebody screamed like somebody had fell. Comes to find out, the premiere started off with a bang. We got everybody running out the building. Hakeem gets in the little car that says just married and rushes off because he's all upset about his situation. You know, he got his got left at the altar. His daddy done married his baby mama. So he's running off mad. All of a sudden, as he pulls off, bam, big crash. Rhonda, lifeless dead body, smacked onto one of the cars outside. So Rhonda is gone, physically. But mentally, she is still alive and well. And I guess that's why they continue to pay Caitlin Doubleday, who plays Rhonda on the show. Guess that's how they justify paying her. Because
she is in a coma?
No. She is looking like she's gonna be tormenting Andre the whole season because she's right there. You know, he's having
visions of her.
Uh huh.
So
yeah. So
because I was gonna say, how is that gonna work out for him? That's why I didn't think either one of them would die because he's crazy anyway. And I didn't know how that was gonna work out for him with her being dead. But go ahead.
Well, like I said, it jumped off. The show jumped off real quick. Rhonda crashes. Anika, Andre grabs her and starts shaking and screaming at her. You know, how could you do this? Her water breaks. So they rush her to the hospital. They get to the hospital. Well, they flash over to some reason, Cookie's back at home cutting out pictures of Lucius and all the family photos. I don't understand why they even had to show that, but whatever. So she gets the call from Jamal, about Anika. So she rushes out to the hospital. Cookie trying to console Andre, tells Andre, you know, I can call you a priest for you. And basically Andre says, I'm done with God and his plans. And Grandma Walker, who's still there, she's still around. She says, we're being punished. You're all being punished. You know, screaming all in the room. In the delivery room, Hakeem obviously doesn't know what's going on. He then got drunk and is off at Tiana's house. So he done passed out at Tiana's house. He hadn't answered no calls, so he's not there. Lucius is in the delivery room with Anika, and he whispers in her ear as she's giving birth now, you know, don't tell them anything. If anybody asks, you know, she fell. You were just trying to protect yourself. You didn't push her. She fell on her own, you know, trying to come after you. Talking about Rhonda. So, then the baby comes. It's a girl. So, Lucius gets all enraged again and whispers in her ear, you lied to me. Because Anika told him last season it was a boy.
It was a boy.
Then we cut to the next scene. Lucius is at the house looking like the Great Gatsby, in a white suit, playing cards with French Montana and Birdman. It is at this point that I almost turned the TV off. So when I saw Birdman, I was like, this can't go nowhere but bad.
I don't know. You better put some respect on his name, though. I know that. All right, go ahead.
So, So, you know, that's when it comes out about his, that Swift stream that he acquired.
Mm-hmm.
The streaming service, he's going to rename it Empire Xtreme. So, okay. Whatever that's worth. That was basically all that was about. They're going to have a big opening. You know, everybody's worried about Andre but Lucius. You know, everybody's trying to console Andre.
Lucius is worried about himself. He don't care nothing about all that.
Right. So, he asked Jamal to sing at the premiere for this, you know, the opening for this Empire Xtreme, you know, thing they're going to have. Jamal's still dealing with his conflictions about Frida and, you know, just being upset that she's in jail and, you know, he knows that the bully wasn't really meant for him and all that good stuff. Let's see. Yeah, Lucius tries to bond with Cookie a little bit, and he tells him, I know we're still good as long as I see that fire in your eyes. And she tells him, I need you to hear me loud and clear. What me and you had is dead. You ruined it forever. Enjoy married life. Hakeem in the studio working with Sharon.
Is that when Tay Diggs came up?
Next episode.
Oh, that was something else. Mm-hmm. My bad. Go ahead.
He's coming. He is coming. Yes, he is coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Hakeem in the studio working with Shine, who is played by Xzibit, as everybody remembers from last season. Shine basically trying to blackmail Lucius into getting his niece a record deal. His niece is played by Sierra McClain, and she can sing. I've not known anything about this girl, but his niece's name is Nessa, but like I said, played by Sierra McClain, and she can blow. So, she probably could have got a deal on her own, but, you know, whatever. So, they get to the premiere of the Empire Xtreme. Jamal gets up there, starts having flashbacks about, you know, just everything going on with him being shot, you know, dealing with his daddy. He starts having a panic attack on stage. Hakeem and Cookie rush him off. They got him in the back trying to calm him down. Well, while he's having a panic attack, Nessa steps up, who was a backup singer at that point, steps up and takes the song over. And you know that pissed Lucius off because now Nessa is quote-unquote the face of Empire Xtreme when Jamal was supposed to be. And now he ain't got no choice but to give this girl a record deal. He's, you know, Shine still got him hemmed up on that. So, yeah, it's... You got Cookie sitting around with her sisters, and I'm glad that Dave Fox and Tasha Smith are still around because they're two of my favorites. They're trying to convince her to just go ahead and rat Lucius out to Tariq, the FBI agent, and just go ahead and get it all over with. I mean, why are you protecting him, everything he's done to you and still doing to you? Mama Walker shows back up again at the house as they done moved Anika's stuff in, you know, because they got to portray that she's actually married and happily married to Lucius. So, uh-huh. You know, so the feds don't come after her. Mama Walker ain't having it. She told Anika, you about as trustworthy as a snake in a hamster cage.
She said, I got
my eye on you, and don't touch any of this food. I know you're trying to poison me. I didn't really understand that. And of course, she's wielding that knife. Why they let this woman around knives? I don't understand. She's crazy. Somebody gonna get killed. I just know she gonna wind up killing somebody. But let's see. So I'm just gonna fast forward a little bit through my notes. Tariq gets invited to dinner because he's kind of basically just stalking the Lyon family outside the mansion. And Lucius just basically invites him to dinner. He said, you know, I know that marriage is a sham or whatever. I just can't prove it yet. But as soon as I'm able to prove it, I'm going to subpoena Anika and we're going to throw you in jail. He gets to dinner and, you know, of course, everybody's being real quiet, not really saying too much. But when it starts all starts popping off, he makes an off-color comment to Jamal. Jamal jumps at him. And then they all start one by one trying to go at Tariq. And he shuts them all down. And he calls them out one by one. He calls out Cookie. He calls out Jamal. He calls out Hakeem. He calls out everybody at the table just one by one with all the stuff, all their transgressions. And it was a pretty good scene. Obviously, he leaves. But come to find out, I didn't really catch this in the beginning, but he gave Anika a baby one, you know, a welcoming baby gift or whatever, and it was a teddy bear. So the show leaves off with Lucius in the baby's room, rocking the baby to sleep. Now, Lucius done put his name on the birth certificate for this baby. He's the father on the birth certificate when we all know it's Hakeem's baby. But, he tells Hakeem that, you know, until you can show me that you're worthy of being a father, then I'm going to be this baby's father. So the show ends off with him rocking in the baby chair, and all of a sudden the camera pans over to, and he's talking and saying, you know, basically incriminating himself a little bit to the baby, and the camera pans over to the teddy bear. Teddy bears has camera in it. Tariq is in the car watching everything and listening to everything that Lucius is saying. So it's going to be interesting where this goes this season. Fox has got a lot of good shows this fall. I think Pitch is really good. Lethal Weapon is very good. We'll get to those at another time. It's going to be interesting. This fall season is really good. Designated Survivor on ABC. If anyone who hadn't checked that out, you need to check that out. It's a very good show. Keith Sutherland, basically is the only one left after the Capitol is bombed with the president and vice president and everybody on board. So he becomes president. It's a very good show. We'll get to that one another time, too. Do we have time to run through Power real quick, the season finale?
Sure.
Okay. I'm so glad you told me to get on Power. First of all, let me just put that out there right now.
I'm so sad because I ain't saying nothing. I just been having to listen to people tell me what happened. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, this whole season has basically been around the theory that Ghost must die. I mean, it seems like every time he turns around, somebody trying to kill him. But he's had to deal with Tommy kind of going rogue a little bit. Trying to do his own thing. Dean, who is his bodyguard or whatever, turns out he is one of the Serbians named Milan, who basically is, you know, ruling the Serbian Empire and has been underneath. Ghost didn't know it this whole time. He's been just watching him and had him all kind of hemmed up all season long. And here the last couple episodes, it's kind of turned on him and Ghost has been trying to figure out how to get from underneath Milan's power because Milan wants him to, you know, kind of be his new connect or whatever. 50 Cent, who at the end of last season, you know, we all thought was dead and burned up in the building.
We knew he wasn't dead.
You know, well, we knew that, yes. But, you know, that was what they wanted you to believe. Of course, that's what everybody on the show believes. Everybody believes he's dead. He has then turned back up and is hanging with Tariq, Ghost's son.
Right.
So, Tariq is calling him Slim. So every time they say, who you hanging out with? I'm hanging out with Slim. So, everybody doesn't know it's 50 Cent. So, I mean, it's Kanan or whatever.
So, what, Kanan got a new look? Like, what?
No, no. They don't, they've not seen him. They've not met Slim.
They, but the little boy don't know. Well, I guess he would. Go ahead.
He don't know anything about it. He just know, he knows what Kanan is telling him. And Kanan basically said, you know, I knew your father back in the day. Whatever. You know, basically. And nothing too dramatic. But in this season finale, Greg Knox, who has been trying and trying and trying to bring down Ghost, finally has a little bit of evidence. Things going his way, thinking he's going to take him down. Sandoval, who is the one who has been involved with, he's the head of the FBI. I call it the FBI. He's the head of the task force or whatever. And he's also involved with the Lobos guy. So, he comes to Greg's house. Greg realizes as they're talking that he's the one that's been the kind of the snitch and kind of been the one that's been the one that's been giving all the information to Lobos and his crew. And he was kind of the reason that Lobos was killed, even though he didn't mean to be. He was the reason. So Knox confronts him on it. Sandoval kills Greg. Greg is dead. So Angie, who had, you know, her and Ghost not really having each other, you know, she's really trying to stay away from him at this point. She's not really having it with him. Ghost is trying to do everything in his power so they can eventually be together. I mean, that was his ultimate goal.
Ghost needs to get off of that.
And he actually, at a diner, explained all that to her, trying to explain, you know, I'm doing all this for us. You know, finally, we can be together. And as he's talking, he don't mean to, but he basically makes himself sound like he's the one to kill Greg. You know, he's not trying to mean that, but that's the way it sounds to, you know, to Angie. And of course, when she sees that Greg is dead, immediately she thinks that Ghost did it. Ghost fingerprints are on Greg's window. Angie finds those fingerprints, and that's because he was trying to find some stuff that he thought Greg had on him, couldn't find anything. And when he broke in the house or whatever. So when Angie sees those fingerprints, obviously she thinks he's the one killed Greg. So the show ends with Ghost about to get his big deal for all these nightclubs with that little, you know, the LaDonna group, that the daughter and father combo. So he's about to get this big deal. It's going to be a bunch of different nightclubs, blah, blah, blah. He done shut down Dean or Milan or whatever his name is and all the Serbians and shut all that down with the help of Tommy and Dre and all the other people. So the show ends. Angie walks into the club. He goes down to greet her, kisses her. She puts the cuffs on him. So she done arrested him for the murder of Greg. He's going to jail. Then we pan to the house. Tasha walks in. You know, she's been at the club all night, sees her daughter sitting up. She don't know that Ghost has been arrested. Asks where Tariq is. Daughter says, I don't know. He won't answer any of my calls. So she tries to call him. He don't answer. Tariq done passed out drunk on Kanan's couch. And Kanan's friend Jukebox is there or whatever, who played by Anika Nora Rose, that's in Dream Girls. I love her character in this. She plays this character great. So they're there, and they done decided that they're going to ransom Tariq. So they take a picture of Tariq leaned up against Kanan, but they don't show Kanan. They just show his arm wrapped around Tariq's head. And basically it says on there, if you want your son back, you're going to have to pay. Text that picture to Tasha, and that's where we're left off.
Tasha ain't playing. They better stop playing on Tasha.
Nope. So this is going to be... I need season 4 to hurry up.
the way they talk, it's gonna be a while.
Yeah, I know they talk late 2017, so we'll see. But yeah, but I think that's gonna wrap up our show for today. I know you gotta get to work and gotta get busy. So as always, I'm one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with and this has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.